Thanks for the introduction. So I'm Steven Peterson, presenting today a follow-up work to a study made last year and presented at the Virtual Reality Conference, where we introduced a new way of managing label placement, where we use stereoscopic depth as a means to deal with the visual clutter due to overlapping labels. As you see in the bottom left view, in the front view, there is no difference when separating labels in depth and how the labels actually appear in the view plane. But as seen in the top view, in the bottom right image, labels have been placed in distinct depth layers, which helps legibility and reading labels, even though they are actually overlapping. And this is contrasted to the common ways to deal with labeling, which is usually to distribute overlapping labels or to handle the overlaps by separating labels in the 2D screen plane. And this is a very common approach, which is used in AR and VR, and cartography and radar applications, for example. The problems attributed to this approach is that there could be a lot of 2D view plane motion, which could be disturbing or distracting, and the label positioning can be ambiguous with respect to the object. Other approaches include suppressing or modifying the labels to introduce, for example, different transparencies or coloring, or even removing labels that are overlapping. But there are some problems here also that this requires importance classification, which labels should actually remain and which should be removed, and this can also be problematic. So the aim of this study was to compare the relative benefit of the two techniques of 2D view plane separation and depth separation in terms of how you perceive the scene, how you handle spatial judgments in a visual search task. So there are two issues to come into play here. First of all, it's the legibility, how easy labels are read, and secondly, also the correlation, how well you actually know what label is describing what object. And in this study, we use static scenes, which is perhaps not very realistic in augmented reality or virtual reality, but this allows us to isolate the effect of specific label placements. If labels were constantly moving, it would be very hard to actually measure these effects. So the main independent variable we use in this user study is the technique of separating labels. So the first one is depth separation. So here we use a layering technique where we have five arcminutes of stereoscopic disparity between labels or between layers, which was previously found optimal. And we also place labels of closer objects in closer depth layers. And in this way, we avoid confusing depth cues where labels and objects are incorrectly ordered. So we place the overlapping labels in different overlap chains, we call them, which are simply linked lists of transitively overlapping labels. And the purple and the red line here denote two different chains. And the nice thing with these chains is that labels that are not in the same chain are not actually in a view plane overlap, so these could be placed in the same depth layer. And using this method, we sort of save depth layers so that In this case, we have only four depth layers that managed five different labels. So it's a way to sort of compress the depth distribution. So the good thing about this approach is that there is a zero offset between labels and objects in X, in the horizontal axis, and there is constant offset in the Y axis. So you pretty much know where the label is respect to the object. But there are still label overlaps and overlaps between labels and lines, but this stereoscopic separation helps to mitigate some of these problems. Then the second technique is height separation, which is pretty common in virtual scenes where you have a sort of perspective view where you view a ground plane from a distance. So labels act like flags, sort of, with the lines being flagpoles. So if labels are deemed to be overlapping, one of the two labels are raised vertically until the overlap is solved. The thing here is that we cannot avoid overlaps between labels and label lines, but there is a constant, there's a zero offset in the x-axis, so there is still pretty good correlation in the horizontal domain between labels and objects. And the third technique, which is pretty common in AR, also in VR, is to manage labels in any direction, or to place labels in any direction around the object they designate. We call this planar separation because it uses the entire view plane around the object for separation. We implemented a cluster-based algorithm, which Azuma presented in 2003, which produces very good average placements with very few overlaps, but at interactive speeds. So it's a pretty good algorithm, but there are many more. So here, the X and Y offset is variable. Overlaps are avoided, but you don't really know where the label is relative to the object unless you follow the line. So in this study, we devised a task where you were determining spatial relationships between two objects. So we labeled 16 out of 40 markers in a scene, and the task was to judge the position of a given target marker to that of a reference marker. The target was identified by the text in the label, and this was given before each trial. And the reference marker was determined by this different color, blue here. So the task could, for example, be in this image here. Is AA858 to the left or right of 80, to the left or right of the reference marker? And AA858 is in the top right corner, so the response here would be right. And we mapped these responses to the keys on the keyboard, so the user would press the right key. That would be the correct answer. We also did this in the vertical domain, so that would be in a similar fashion with up and down arrows. So we used these three, or we compared these three label separation methods, and we also included a control condition where there was no separation at all, so we could compare how these individual benefits actually contributed to user performance. So we got 16 voluntary participants, and we managed to find balanced age subgroups because visual accommodation degrades at about age 40. So we managed to find 8 subjects above and below this age. But in the end, we didn't find any effects of age, but we did this anyways. And all participants passed a stereo test, a stereo vision test. There were 64 trials, And everything took about 1 hour per participant, including reading instructions, measuring the interpupillar distance for calibration. We had 10 test trials where the users were accustomed to the task, and in the end we also had a questionnaire. And this was a within subject repeated measures design. And to the right we see the general hardware setup with the user as number one, a transparent prediction screen rendering the labels and the overlay as number two, and the background screen rendering the markers as number three. It's perhaps a bit hard to see in this image, but it was a very dark room also. So, the first of all, looking at the response time, we found a main effect of label separation method on response time, both in the horizontal and the vertical domains, as seen in this graph. The three methods were statistically indistinguishable from each other, but in the horizontal domain, all of them were better than the control case. But in the vertical domain, the height separation case was not better than the control. So we believe this is because the height separation method uses the vertical domain for actually managing overlaps or reducing overlaps. So vertical judgments can be confused by how labels are actually distributed. But then we saw that the planar separation method was actually performing pretty good here. So we wanted to check how this the specific details on how the planar labeled separation method actually behaves. So we did an in-depth analysis where we classified trials as being either confusing or non-confusing. And the criteria for being a confusing trial was that the target label was on the opposite side of the reference marker, or the reference label was on the opposite side of the target marker, or both. And 20% of all the trials were actually showing this behavior. Mean response time was significantly slower for these confusing trials with 8.3 seconds. And confusing placements were also slower than the other label separation techniques in general. So this shows that when labels are placed in confusing positions on the view plane, then this actually degrades user performance. We also looked at error rates, but we had a very low error rate, and it didn't really show up to show any significant differences. So we, anyways, we found that this showed that the users understood the instruction of prioritizing accuracy, which we stated. Then we looked at the questionnaire data. First of all, just looking at some general issues that might affect how the users were comfortable during the experiment, or visually if they had any problems perceiving depth. But ratings were on average pretty low, so there weren't any major issues there. But then we asked subjects how they actually perceived the reading task to be, or how difficult or easy it was to read the labels. And here we saw that planar separation was considerably easier than the other conditions, which is not very surprising because here there is basically no overlap at any time. And the height and depth separation condition was indistinguishable statistically, even though height separation is slightly faster here, or easier, sorry. And then we also asked about how they perceived the actual task of making the judgment to be, and this was not statistically significant at all. So the discussion here is there was no significant difference in response time between the label separation methods. All of them were better than the control, so the individual strengths contributed to the improvement, either of having a better spatial correlation in the view plane, or being easier to read. But the importance of spatial correlation was highlighted in two ways in this study. First of all, that confusing placements with planar separation was found to cause poorer performance. And also, for response time, we saw that vertical judgments were a lot slower with height separation, because there the vertical domain is being confused also. But depth separation, we don't have any such confusion in spatial correlation, because there is a constant offset between label and object in both y and x axis. So this technique reduces response time by about 16 to 22%. This is indistinguishable to the other label placement techniques, but it is not affected by confusing placements. And this could be important for applications where strong spatial correlation is important. And it is an interesting result where you actually have a 3D display, but you still use 2D label separation. In 2D displays, you're constrained to just use 2D as the means of separation. But if you have a 3D display, these results could be interesting as an alternative approach where you should not make mistakes. So a future experiment could aim to look at these two factors separately, text legibility and spatial correlation, which were both contributing to performance in this case. And also, perhaps more importantly, look at dynamic scenarios to see how the motion actually affects the performance, and how motion affects how people stand up with this type of display in the long term, how confusing or how disturbing it actually is. And also to look at perhaps hybrid techniques where use a combination of label separation methods depending on what you're actually doing or what is important, to have one label technique where you're having the focus and another one where you're using as just a context. So that sums up my talk for today. Let me know if you have any questions. Not, but I was wondering if it could be used. Yeah, I would like to try one. The thing there is that you're constrained to only two layers mostly, so it could be useful if you just have one or two labels that you need to deal with. But in more complex displays, I think you need the flexibility of the entire depth range, so to speak, with a stereoscopic display. But that would be interesting to see. Yeah. It actually came from previous experiments where we use similar number of markers being labeled. So it was a means to compare back to previous studies, basically, but there was no real logic going in there. Also, 16 is in the ballpark of the number of objects that you're using in that you would be seeing in an air traffic control scenario, and that is the sort of background application domain we're using here. I didn't mention it much or at all actually here, but it comes from there that about 20 objects is what you're actually dealing with as an air traffic controller.
Right.
the number of objects changes? Well, yeah, if there are very few objects, then the problem is, of course, reduced. So I think we are looking at sort of the worst case scenarios, where how to handle this problem when it really is a problem. If there are very few objects, then it's not such a big problem. So I think we would be just focusing on the maximum number of problems, the maximum number of labels, and the maximum number of objects to see how that is solved, and if that can be solved, or that result will sort of be guiding for the entire system, I'd say. Well, there was only one label that was selected as the reference, and this was shown in a different color. And do you mean if there was any problem in actually seeing this label, or
yes, what?
Right. Yeah. Well, the thing is, we wanted to do a comparison between two different labels. So the option would have been to provide both labels in the beginning of the task, or in the beginning of the trial. But that would be sort of a pretty complex memory task to remember two different labels. So we chose to simplify it a bit with just providing one label and then the second one in a different color. And I think it was not a problem for any of the subjects that we had. We did, as I said, 10 test trials before the session, and it was a pretty straightforward task, and yeah, we didn't have problems with color vision or anything like that either. So.